Janelle Dupree didn't need to be told two of her adopted daughters had come out of a difficult situation. The evidence was splashed, spilled, and strewn all over the house on one of their first nights in their new home in Emporia.
There was eggs and food on the floor, on the side of the refrigerator, going off.
The girls, now 7 and 9, had come from a place where food wasn't always available. So when it was plentiful, they took out and ate everything they could.
Then as we go down the hallway, there was like a cookie on the floor here or something.
That was the first and last time the little girls ravaged the kitchen like that. Things have been harder with Dupree's older daughter, now a teenager, who was adopted out of Texas 10 years ago. She was abused in her birth home and her foster home. She still has trouble trusting people and frequently runs away from home, especially when it gets to the time of year that triggers some of her bad memories. Jim Orwig, a therapist in Pittsburgh, Kansas, who works a lot with foster kids and their families, says he sees this sort of stuff all the time.
That's a pretty common story.
He says kids adapt to their situation and pick up whatever behavior helps them feel in control, some of them messy or self-destructive or dangerous. And when they are safe, it can be hard for kids to let go of those habits that got them through.
Working with kids who've got this habitual behavior for how they deal with threats, it's more complicated. It's a lot easier to treat a symptom.
It's easy enough to clean up a kitchen, but that doesn't get to why kids might tear it apart in the first place. The Department for Children and Families and its contractors who manage foster care and adoption are supposed to help families deal with the unpredictable things their kids do and treat the deeper trauma. Dupree keeps a copy of the policy at hand, highlighted and underlined.
One of the things in DCF policy is a policy number 5370, and I have it written down so I can get it word for word. It's post-finalization services to adopted families.
The policy, which was added to contracts in 2013, requires DCF contractors, KVC, and St. Francis to provide whatever services adoptive families need to keep the adoption stable. That includes mental health services or connecting them with treatment providers in the community.
For the life of the contract.
Dupree's daughter had mental health services in Emporia. Her insurance records show regular therapy sessions and charges for antipsychotic medication. In October of 2016, Dupree let the local DCF office know when her teenage daughter ran away again, just to keep them in the loop.
And I said, I know where she is. I knew the house she was at. And I let them know, as well as the police, where she was at.
Dupree had an intake appointment set up at a residential mental health treatment facility for her daughter when she came home. She told DCF that too. But after the police picked her daughter up, she didn't go to therapy.
What happened instead, DCF workers came in, took her into care, put her in a regular non-therapeutic foster home.
The home was in Topeka, so she'd have to start counseling with a new local therapist. The Dupree spent the next 6 months fighting to get their daughter back. They got a lawyer. They hashed out a case plan with the foster mom and the social worker and DCF. They showed up at court hearing after court hearing. They went to family therapy. Dupree assumed that while she was in foster care, her daughter was getting medication and individual therapy according to that plan. But then she checked the insurance records.
In the beginning, the only thing I was looking for is to make sure she had regular appointments for mental health.
She didn't. So the Dupree started taking her back to Emporia to see her old therapist.
Towards the end, I noticed that her medication wasn't being bought.
Dupree immediately called a social worker at St. Francis, DCF's contractor, who was handling her daughter's case. Her daughter's foster home was supervised by TFI, a subcontractor, and Dupree thinks maybe her daughter's case got lost in the shuffle. Ultimately, though, kids in foster care are in DCF's custody. So when Dupree thinks about her daughter's case and how hard it was to get the care that was promised, she blames the agency.
We feel like DCF literally broke that contract with us.
DCF Secretary Gina Meyer-Hummel says there are supposed to be a lot of checks to make sure a kid's case plan is followed. The foster parents, the social worker, DCF itself. But between a skyrocketing number of kids in care, a shortage of social workers, and shuffle between contractors and subcontractors, it's not very hard for a kid to slip through the cracks.
Could it still happen right now? Yeah, absolutely. Are we heading to a place where I think it'll be less likely to happen? Yeah, I think in the future it will be much less likely.
The agency has requested millions of dollars from the state to address some of these problems, including raising salaries to attract and retain more workers and bolstering family preservation services, which could keep kids from being pulled out of their homes in the first place. They've started a top-to-bottom review to identify these cracks that kids slip through so they can start addressing them. But the system isn't there yet. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Madeline Fox.